is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Love God, because all love for God can be part-time. I'm talking about the love of God that is full-time. And Paul wants to answer some questions. He asks another question in verse number 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Because understanding, he just got through telling us that Christ is interceding for all of us. So the fact that you know that Christ is interceding for you, that he's praying to you, that he's going to the Father for you, that many of us think that's only when he's pleased with you. Oh, somebody help me this morning. That Jesus is only praying to God when he's happy with you. But I testify on a Sunday morning by myself that there are times that the Lord Jesus will still pray and intercede for you even when you're in your wrong, even when you're at your lowest, that you don't have to be your best for God to still be his best. You can be at your worst and still be in the potential of having the very best from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul has to answer this question because he understands human nature. And human nature tells us that, well, what about when I'm messing up? What about when I fall off? What about when I make the mistake? What about when I'm depressed? What about when I'm lonely? Let me tell you something about this loneliness and this isolation. Just because you're cut off from people doesn't mean you're cut off from God. Somebody ought to testify on a Sunday morning that just because you may be cut off from work, you're not cut off from worship. Just because you're cut off from certain people, you're not cut off from prayer. God has a way to go beyond locked doors. You ought to ask the disciples about that when they were hiding in the upper room and they were on the run from all the other Jews, and Jesus still got through locked doors. That you don't have to have locked doors to stop him from coming in. That all you need to do is call upon him and he'll come unto you. Brothers and sisters, nothing shall separate us. So we got to look at the fact that the Lord tells you today, nothing's going to break us up. That when I saved you, when I healed you, when I delivered you, when I brought you out, you're mine. You are the apple of my eye. I'm not breaking up with you. Now, who am I talking to this morning that the first sign of trouble, you break up with somebody? At the first disagreement, you leave and go into your own corner. The time something doesn't go your way, you leave and you're not speaking again. You're not on speaking terms anymore. You don't want to have anything to do with them because they hurt your feelings or they offended you or they broke your heart. But y'all, I wonder how God feels, because there are many times, truth be told, I've hurt him. Many times I have disagreed with him. Many times I've gone against his word. Many times I've gone against his will. Many times I have broken God's heart, but he never broke up with me. He did not dump me. He did not get away with me. He did not send me divorce papers. He didn't just throw me away. The Lord has been with me every step of the way. And that's good news for you this morning, that there's a God who won't even break up with you even when you don't want him to keep you. And there's a God who loves you even when you don't want to be loved. There's a God who is keeping you even when you don't want to be kept. There's a God who's keeping you even when you don't want to be loved on and wrapped on. That's why you're still here this morning, because he won't break up with you. And some of us this morning, truth be told, we're trying to find ways for God to break up with me, because if God break up with me, now I got an excuse. Now I got a reason to say he don't love me anymore. Now I got a reason to say he won't be with me anymore. But I want to come serve you. Notice this morning that God loves you with your won't say amen, won't say thank you, Jesus, won't praise God self. He still loves you even in the shape that you and I are in. Let me unpack this for a few moments, and I'm going to let you go about your day. Jesus, the Lord, says to us today that you can't break us up. He's saying that to the devil, he's saying it to you, and he's saying it to your situation. So you and I might as well do the same thing. Because God's love is so strong for us, he's not going to break up with us, because he loves us just that much. So what does this mean to us today? So if to know that God's love is so strong, why is it that he won't break up? What is it about this love of God? Can I just tell you for a few moments? What is it about this love of God that won't break up with us? Number one is because it combats against every problem. Once again, the love of God combats against or fights against all problems. Every problem. Look what he says in the text. In the text, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation. Tribulation is the outward pain. That's the stuff that's going on right now externally that's trying to put pressure. That's another word for tribulation, pressure. It's the pressure from life circumstances. And today, brothers and sisters, we've got to understand and be real that there are some things externally that are trying to pressure us. It's trying to weigh us down, trying to beat us down. And you got to be able to handle this today and be honest and say, there's some stuff going on. So he says, there shall tribulation separate you. No. Tribulation is the external pain. Then he said, distress. That's the internal strife. Distress is what's going on the inside. Externally, it's the COVID-19. That's the pressure from the outside. But then if you don't handle it, distress takes place on the inside. That's where fear comes in. That's where depression comes in. That's where loneliness comes in. And so he says, these things, if you're not careful, you will go through this stuff. Let me read a little further. He says, pressure, tribulation, or distress, or persecution. You know, being talked about, being lied on, being come against because of your beliefs, because of who you are. Shall famine, the fact that you might be experiencing some lack, or shall nakedness, when you don't have enough, you don't even know how you're going to be clothed. Shall peril, or a hardship, or even sword of death. Someone getting rid of us, taking you off. Shall these things, in other words, Paul is asking this question, does you going through this stuff make you think God don't love you? And the truth be told on a Sunday morning, that when we go through these life problems, because this pretty much covers all of life's problems, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, internal damage, external damage. If the truth be told this morning, most of those things make us think, human nature-wise, that God is mad at me, that God doesn't love me, that God got an issue. It's something I must have done wrong. Because if God loved me, and the world tells you that, the enemy tells you that, if God loves you so much, why would he let you go through this? If God loves you so much, why are you getting sick? If God loves you so much, why did your mother die? If God loves you so much, why did you get laid off? And if you're not careful, it'll make, watch the trick. Going through life, if you're not careful, hear me now. I want y'all to hear me. Please hear me. When you go through life's toughness and tough times, the devil won't ever talk about how much God loves you. He will try to talk to you about not loving God so much. And you've got to be very careful that you don't let life cause you to figure and reckon that God got a problem with you, and then you start having a problem with God. Because the trick of the enemy is that he wants life to happen to you so much that you will give up on praying, that you will give up on reading the word of God, that you will give up on loving your neighbor, that you will give up on sowing into ministry, that you will give up on being kind. He wants us to stop doing that which shows our connection and our love for God. Because truth be told, the devil's whole issue is to try to make us look out to be frauds, that us and God really are not that tight, that we really don't get along with God that much. But so you've got to learn, you and I've got to learn, that even when life happens, I'm still going to praise God. I'm still going to pray to God. I'm still going to read God's word. I'm still going to live the best I can. I'm still going to walk in integrity. I'm still going to walk in wholeness. I'm still going to walk in victory. Even though I'm sick, I still can praise God. Even though I'm broke, I can still give God glory. Who am I talking to this morning who is letting life circumstances cause you to believe that God is mad at you? Maybe God is just showing us a lesson that, what, will you still love me when you can't go to work? Will you still praise me when you can't praise me at church? Because truth be told, y'all, y'all. Some of us only praise God when we get to the building. So what happens now? Is God not God now because you can't get to the building? Whatever happened to bring church at home? You ought to bring home church to the corporate church. You ought not only have church when you come to the building. You just because you can't come to the building don't mean you can't still have church. So don't let some of these things going on in your life cause you to believe that God doesn't love you. And so Paul addresses this. He says, shall persecution and shall pressure, shall issues of life cause you to think that God doesn't love you? What do you do, brothers and sisters, when you realize that life doesn't feel good? When life doesn't seem fair? When things happen to you that you were not prepared for, is God still God? Is God still who he says he is? I thought God was good. I thought God was a lover. I thought God was kind. I thought God always brings you out. Because we done told folk that when praises go up, blessings come down. But now you done threw all kind of praises up there, ain't none came down yet. Because that's not biblical. It may be true, but it's not biblical. What happens when you have to go through it? It's there, brothers and sisters, that you really learn God's love. You don't learn God's love on the mountain. You learn God's love in the valley. On the mountaintop, you didn't think you needed God. But in the valley, you recognize his presence was there with you as you walk through that valley of the shadow of death. So take advantage of the fact that God still loves you even when you're in your worst case scenario. So that the love of God is so strong that it combats against all other problems you can experience. That would be good news for you this morning. That every problem you experience, every circumstance you deal with, your God's love separates you from it. That even though you got to deal with it, even though you got to deal with it, you're not dealing with it by yourself. That should be comforting news with you this morning. Brothers and sisters, we are going through a storm globally. But listen to me good. You're not in this by yourself. You're not the only one nervous. You're not the only one anxious. You're not the only one trying to figure it out. So tell the Lord, how about you talk to the Lord about it and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. You're not the first. And you will not be the last. Secondly, brothers and sisters, you can't break us up. Problems can't break us up. Secondly, brothers and sisters, you got to understand the fact that that the love of God will cause you to always prevail. That the love of God will always cause you to prevail. Look what he says in verse number 36. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is a reference Paul uses back to the 44th number of Psalm, verse number 22, where the people of God, where in other words, Paul is saying, Christians have always been counted for as sheep for the slaughter. Folk been trying to get rid of us. The devil been trying to destroy us. The devil has been trying to come against God's people. You thought you're the first one. That's a trick of the enemy, because you think you're the only one going through what you're going through. You think you the first, this is the first time in history. Yo, this ain't the first issue. This is not the first type of quarantine. This is not the first time America's had to deal with this. And it's showing up ain't the first time our people had to deal with stuff. So the enemy wants you to believe that for years, y'all, for centuries, the enemy has been trying to get rid of God's people. He doesn't see, in church, you're considered to be a saint. In church, you're considered to be reverend, doctor, bishop, apostle. In the body of Christ, you're considered to be child of God. But to the devil, you just something to get rid of. To the enemy, you just sheep for the slaughter. But there's something that the devil don't take into account. While he counting me, he ought to be counting something else. Because listen to me good. If we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, if we're counted as much a dumb, ignorant sheep who are following Christ, he's forgotten about something. That if we're a bunch of sheep, we're following the Lamb of God. That's good news on a Sunday morning. We got a Lamb of God who was already slain, and he rose on that third day morning, and we follow. Now behold the Lamb of God. And we thank him this morning that he is our everything, and we always have victory. Look what he says in verse 37. No, nay, in all these things we are conquerors. No, that's not what Paul says. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In other words, what Paul is saying to us, y'all, is that you not just go win, you go win well. You're going to come by, you're going to succeed well. You're going to go above winning. You're going to win powerfully. You're going to win abundantly. You're going to win in a way where it can't be no doubt about a win. It's not going to be no barely winning. You're going to win big. It's going to be a blowout between Christians and the enemies. When it's all said and done, you are more than a conqueror. And I dare somebody to tell themselves now that I am more than a conqueror because I am Christ Jesus' beloved, because I am his brother, because he died for me, because I believe in him. I am more than a conqueror. Now, wait a minute now. He said, you are more than a conqueror. Now, that means to you that even when you don't feel like you won, you got to appreciate the fact that I won. Just because you hadn't won yet does not mean like you're not going to win, because Paul says you are more than a conqueror. Can I tell you a little bit more? Can I bless you on a Sunday morning? Paul is saying to us, not only will you win well, not only will you win exceedingly, but he says to us this morning that you're going to keep on winning. You are more than a conqueror, that losing is not in your vocabulary. Losing is not going to be a part of your reality, that because you belong to God, there's no way you can fail. There's no way you can miss out. There's no way you can lose, because you belong to God and you are more than a conqueror. That means you're going to keep on winning. I dare you, look within yourself right now and tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me perpetual victory. I'm going to keep on winning. Glory to God. He says you're going to keep on winning. So understand today that you can't break us up, that nothing can break us up between us and God, because we're going to keep on being victorious. Don't let your little battles cause you to realize you don't have victory. Just because you're going through a tough battle does not mean that you won't have the victory. There comes a time now you got to know how to pick your battles. Remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Lord told Jehoshaphat through the man of God that this battle is not yours. He told them, sit yourself, stand still, and see the salvation. He didn't tell them to go fight. This time you got to sit back and let the Lord fight, because some of these fights that you're going through, some of these battles you're going through, is not for you to fight. There's sometimes it's a fight for you and the Lord. The only thing you got to fight is obedience. Just do what the Lord says do. Stay in the Lord's word. Operate by God's principles. Operate by God's law, and you'll be able to see more victory. Brothers and sisters, I thank God for his word today that nothing's going to keep us from his love. That his love for us goes beyond even our own personal failures. And just because you personally fail does not make you a failure. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up again. I'm closing now, but I want to share with you once again that the God's love for you, that being a child of God, there's no way he's going to break up with you, because it combats against all problems, that he causes us to always prevail, and then lastly, he cancels out all other possibilities. And so you're asking yourself this morning, yeah, I got problems. Yeah, I'm going through, and that makes me feel like God doesn't love me. It makes me feel like God doesn't care. Now you learn today that God cares about you even in spite of your problems. Because some stuff you brought on yourself, some stuff you didn't, but his love does not stop. He don't stop loving you just cause you going through. Then you learn also that you are more than a conqueror, that he will always cause you to prevail. You're going to win well, and you're going to keep on winning. And then the Lord says, I want you to hold fast to this, because you got to go beyond, you got to go to today, and you got to deal with beyond today. And he said that my love for you, God says, cancels out all other possibilities. Look what Paul says. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life. Look, isn't it interesting how Paul starts in verse 38 where he ends in verse 35? Shall peril or sword being killed. So then Paul begins in verse 38 where he left off in 35. Now I told you he ain't gonna leave you when the sword comes. And I want to reiterate again in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. He picks up where he left off, because people are thinking that the worst case scenario, the worst case possibility that we're dealing with right now is death. And to those who are dealing with, who are grieving right now, those of y'all who have lost a loved one in this season, I want you to understand that the possibility of death still does not eliminate God's love for that individual. And it does not eliminate God's love for you. That death does not stop God's love. that God don't just love living folks, God loves the dead as well. Glory to God. And sometime in God's will, God sees something bigger than we see. We may want to keep them here, but the love of God says it's time for them to move on a little higher. And so don't let the fact of death coming cause you to believe that God doesn't love them and that God doesn't love you. Look what he says, nor death, nor life, nor angels. That's the good angels. That's his angels. Who would not try to get rid of your love for God. Who would not try to get rid of God's love. They would help you and God keep on loving. Nor principalities. That's the devil's angels. Those are the ones who are trying to make you believe that God doesn't love you. Look at it now. You got two possibilities. You've got God's angels who would not dare try to break between you and God's love. And then you got principalities, which are the devil's angels, who look every day to make you think God doesn't love you. Nor powers. That's the powers that be, government powers, powers given by Satan. Powers given to Satan over the atmosphere. But then there's also nationalistic, global powers, principalities of government, leadership. Those things can't make you believe that God doesn't love you. Don't let what a government agent, don't let what some president, some foreign minister, don't let what someone has told you make you believe God doesn't love you. Just because your dollar bill say in God we trust don't mean that whoever gave you the dollar trust in God. So just because you're dealing with a country that says one nation under God doesn't mean this whole nation is under God. Because if this whole nation was under God, we would care about the least, the lost, and the left out. If we really cared about God, we would be concerned about people who are trying to have a better way of living. If we were really concerned about God, we wouldn't see skin problems, we would see sin problems. If this nation really cared about God, some things this nation just wouldn't do. But be hold fast, be encouraged today, brothers and sisters, that just because our nation is in turmoil does not mean God doesn't love us. Nor powers, nor things present, that's what's going on right now. And then nor things to come, nor the things that are will come about. So no matter what it is that you're dealing with now, no matter the possibility what you go handle today, no matter the possibility what you go see tomorrow, doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And Paul concludes by saying, nor height, nothing above you. Nor death, nothing below you, nor any creature, anything that's been created, shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen to me. You ought to be appreciative today that there's some stuff going on above you. It's above you that you can't handle. But no matter how far it is above you, it's still under your God's feet. And that's good news to a believer today. No matter how high the principality, no matter how high the issue seems to you, is still under God's feet. And all of it is still subject. What Paul is saying, with all the possibilities that could happen, you're worried about tomorrow. You're worried about how you go eat. Worried about how you go clothe yourself. You're worried about a stimulus check. You're worried about the food stamp. You're worried about child support. You're worried about how to get the bills paid. Worried about the education. Worried about how your kids go past. Worried about all of that. You got to appreciate this morning that's still under God's feet. And the love of God will keep you when you don't understand what God is doing even right now. And you've got to trust today, brothers and sisters, that don't let what's going on right now cause you to believe God don't love you. Here's our challenge today. We got to keep on loving God. Don't fall out with God because you don't understand God. This ain't the time to break up with God. This ain't the time to get out of a relationship with God. This is the time that you ought to spend more time with him. Maybe God is slowing you down. Maybe God is slowing you up to the point where you will appreciate now the time you have with him. Maybe he needed more of your time. Maybe he needed more of your energy. Maybe he needed to hear from you. Maybe you've been spending too much time with work. Maybe you've been spending too much time with Boo and Bae. Maybe now you go hear from God. Maybe now you'll fall back in love with your first love. Listen to me. This is for those of us, New Zion. I want you to hear you as well. Because many of us had issues about coming to church. We fought and fussed and complained about having to come to church. We got tired of coming to church. We got tired of having to deal with the church. So now you can't come. Now government say you got to stay at home. So I bet you going further, when we're able to come back, I bet you, I know I will, we're going to have a greater appreciation when we're able to come. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because the truth be told, I miss the worship. I miss corporate worship. I miss fellowship. I miss hugging. I miss shaking hands. But sometimes you don't appreciate stuff till you don't have it anymore. And the good news for you this morning is that you've always got a God. That even when you don't want him, he still wants you. And the truth be told today, y'all, no matter what you've done wrong, no matter what you're doing now, whatever you got planned can stop God from loving you. And you got to appreciate something now. Just because God loves you don't mean he's going to let you stay in the same shape. God does love you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay in that same shape that you were in. God loves you so much this morning, you have no idea how much God loves you. And as I close this message, I just want to reiterate once again to you this morning that God's love for you supersedes everything you think about yourself. How about we elevate our way of thinking, elevate our way of living, and understand that we don't have to give up on stuff so easy, that God doesn't give up on you. We often give up on God. And just because I'm going through a problem, just because I'm dealing with a situation, does not mean that God doesn't love me. Maybe he loved me so much that he's allowing me to grow and gain some strength in the midst of this storm. Won't you pray with me where you are? Heavenly Father, we come before you now, thanking you for your word. Thanking you, oh God, for your love. Lord, we thank you right now for your love. Your word taught us today, God, that nothing that we experience in this journey of life will cause us to ever believe or doubt your love for us. Lord, sometimes life doesn't feel good. Sometimes we don't understand it. But Lord, we thank you and we have confidence and we have encouragement and comfort in knowing that your love is still available for us no matter what the circumstance. Lord, thank you for being light in the midst of darkness. Thank you for being our company in the midst of loneliness. Thank you, oh God, for being provision in moments of lack. That Lord, truth be told, we look back over our life, there was never a time that we've been alone and haven't been covered. And Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your word this morning that has challenged our hearts and has encouraged our hearts about your love for us, that it supersedes any circumstance that we come against. Now, Lord, I pray that some brother or sister was touched by your word today. And in some way, God, those who don't know you, I pray they will know you today, begin knowing you, that you will dispatch angels, God, to comfort them and be with them, to let them see you in a more excellent way. And to those of us who know you, God, who've gotten derailed and distracted and discouraged because of life's circumstances, Lord, will you have mercy upon us and let us feel your love even now. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, because it's through him that we have victory. Through him, we are more than conquerors. And Lord, we thank you on a fifth Sunday morning that we've got total victory. Not just victory when we see you, but we can have victory every day of our life. And Lord, I pray that you will lift up countenances, that you will lift up bowed down heads, that you will lift up, God, the hearts that are just downtrodden. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you once again, brothers and sisters, for sharing with us on this morning. It has been my privilege to share God's word with you and to just share together and break the bread of life together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We urge you, we want to hear from you. You want need prayer, you want to be saved, please communicate with us on our Facebook page and let us know. We don't want storm has come into the ship. And the sailors, as well as Jonah, are all involved in this storm. And we said to us earlier that many times, we ourselves, the sailors, were not responsible for the storm, but then are left to deal with the storm. And so we have to do a good job of prayer, seeking God, to determine the source of our storm. The source of the storm may not just be a person, but it may actually be a job, it can be money, it can be status, it can be goals and things of that nature that get in the way of our divine purpose. I love how God, through this passage, will be able to share with us and give us the opportunity to see him even through a sinful nature. Look, brothers and sisters, how Jonah's name is supposed to be a dove, but he's acting like a donkey. And I believe I'm talking to people so often who know they're meant to be a dove, but you find yourself acting like a donkey because it's donkey-like to not do what God has told you to do. God has given him the assignment to share a word. He says no. And now he puts his life in the hands of people that he does not know. And anytime you walk away from the presence of God, you're putting your life and your presence, your disposition and your future into those things that cannot sustain you. We find, oh, brothers and sisters, that the storm comes. The storm comes, and it's the cause of Jonah. How do we know that Jonah caused the storm? It's because they start praying to their gods. because the Phoenicians prayed to their primary god was Baal. And we know that Baal is the god of fertility and the god of nature. They said, if we can't fix it, then our gods can fix it. And they prayed to, surely Baal can help us stop this storm, because whatever we're dealing with is a natural storm, has nothing to do with us itself. So the Phoenicians, brothers and sisters, find out that even their gods could not sustain them. Their gods could not stop this storm. So there had to be another source. And so they cast lots. In other words, casting lots mean they gambled. They pulled straws, or they shot dice to try to figure out what the cause of the problem was. And so now it lands on Jonah. What do you do when it lands on the trouble? When you know now it's pinpointed by yourself and by God, by your experiences and by God, that the problem is that person. Or the problem is that thing, or the problem is that place. Bring me to point number two. How do you know when it's time to throw it overboard? Number one, when it's the source of your storm. And number two, when it's sleeping while you're struggling. And if you got people in your life that's sleeping while you're struggling, you need to throw that thing overboard. Because if it's not going to help you in trouble, don't try to be with me in triumph. And aren't you tired of having people who are only conditional with you, and the only time they're with you is when you're winning? But what about when you're going through? What about when you're struggling? What about when you need prayer? Is someone praying with you, or are they resting while you're going through? They look, if Lot falls on Jonah, and Jonah's down in the lower parts of the boat, going sound asleep. What do you do when you see the trouble of your storm, the source of your storm, but it's fine? It's content, because they just along for the ride anyway. Don't mean you any good. Uh-oh. They just trying to get from point A to point B. How can you handle knowing that some people are really trying to use you, and it ain't the folk that you think? Let's not forget to say this. Let me say this. That one of the problems with this passage, one of the things that really throws me off, is that the trouble comes from a saint. What business do saints have starting storms? Why are you messy? Why are you behind all the mess? It shouldn't be people of God who are causing trouble in the world. We ought to be trying to bring some victory and some correction to the trouble in the world. But what do you do when you look throughout the church and you pray and you ask God, and the lot falls on a deacon? And the lot falls on a preacher. It falls on people who should know better but choosing not to do better. What do you do when the lot falls on you? Because I could see if it was the Phoenicians who were causing this, because they don't want to worship God. But God ain't upset with them. He upset with the one who know him but acting like them. And he chooses to ride with people because of his disobedience, and understanding that disobedience causes desperate situations. He put his hands in the hands of Baal. God gives you authority. God has given you an assignment, but you put your life in the hands of Baal because you don't want to do what God said.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes. And now the lot has fallen on him, and the people are in a storm. These people, if you paid your way, at least they gave you a ride. At least you could do is try to help them. But can I be honest with you? That's why many of us are frustrated in this church today. It's because we're dealing with people who are sleeping while you're struggling. And you want to handle them in the Baal way, but God keeps telling you don't handle them like that. God say throw them overboard. But you don't want to throw them overboard. Why? Because Jonah paid his fare. You missing me? Baal paid the ride, so he's a benefit to you. And the only reason you still got people in your ship is because they benefit you temporarily, but they're going to cost you eternally. You made a little money because he paid his fare. He wasn't no stowaway. He didn't sneak on the ship. He paid to be on there, so you feel like it's all right because you benefited from it.
You got company. You got somebody to go out with. You got somebody to talk to. You got some companionship, but it's going to cost you down the road because they don't mean you no good. And many of us, because of our need for companionship, we done let Jonah, a disobedient Jonah, get on our ship. And how do you handle when the storm ain't gonna stop till you get rid of them? I'm in the Bible still. They trying to figure out, what do we need to do with you? Jonah know he's the problem once they wake him up. That's why he tried to sleep his way through the storm. That's why he went to the bottom of the ship so he would have to see what he caused. And don't you have some people in your life right now who don't want to be accountable for what they caused in your life? Well, it's quiet in the church night. But you're just on the ship. And you're sleeping while they're struggling. No concern. No care for what they're going through, no consideration, and these people are nice enough to let you ride. Least you can do is stay awake while they struggle. This ain't the first time. It ends up happening another time. Jesus asked his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, stand here and watch while I pray. He goes, comes back, they sleep. Go back and pray, they sleep again. Go back, come back, say, no, don't wake up now. What y'all was supposed to be watching them came and got me. Because you letting the concerns of the day, concerns of the moment, cause you to go to sleep. You ain't paying attention to God. Anybody who's not paying attention to God right now is called sleep. Woke folks ain't the ones who fighting everything. Woke folks are the ones who understand God is talking. And they ask the question, what do we need to do with you? Who are you? Where you come from? Who your people? Well, my name's Jonah, and I'm a Hebrew. And Jonah look at this storm and say, this thing is kind of abnormal. He realized this ain't no regular storm. Because, see, when you come to yourself and when God talking to you, you know it's God talking to you. You know when God is about you, and you try to deny it all you want to. So look here, fellas. I worship God. See, he ain't say I love the Lord. Lord, have mercy. You missed it. When that storm got so bad and they called him out on it, well, I worship God. And he's the God of the land and the sea. In other words, he's the reason why we all are dealing with this. And y'all never would be dealing with this if it weren't for me being on here with y'all. Because, see, here's the problem. Everybody that you got on your ship got a story. And the story don't begin, help me speak this, Lord. The story don't begin once they get on your ship. Okay. For friendships, for relationships, for kinships, you need to do background checks on people. You need to know what was going on before they got on their ship with you. If they'd have known he was on the run, maybe they wouldn't have let him get on the ship. Stop just getting somebody on no ship just because they look good, smell good, sound good, because they got a story. It's a reason some folks single. You need to check and see if they were just thrown off another ship before they got on yours. Nobody want to help me. It's a lonesome day today, boy. I'm a Hebrew. My God is the one who's over all this. He caused this. So what do we need to do with you? Well, you probably need to throw me overboard. And I guarantee if y'all get rid of me, it's going to stop. Now the responsibility is no longer on Jonah. And some folk done tried to leave you because God convicted them and you kept them on. They said, no, we don't want to do that. We just going to roll a little tougher. We're going to tighten up our straps. We're going to just work harder to make it through this storm because I don't want to just throw this man overboard because he paid to be here. He paid to be here. We ain't gonna just do him like that. I don't want you to do nobody like that. But look at this storm. And he done now shown you he the reason for your storm, and you go keep him. You go keep him or her or it or that on your ship, and it's telling you, go on, get rid of him, and it's gonna stop. But you wanna be a good saint. You want God to be pleased with you, so you ain't gonna do nothing about it and go keep them little storm. And the Bible says the storm grew even more tempestuous. It got worse once it got admitted what was going on. Because now the storm ain't just about Jonah. It's about hard-headed folk on the ship, too, who got a chance to make their life better but won't do it because they won't throw stuff overboard. What is wrong with people when God gives you a solution and you tell God, no, I'll just do it my way still? He said, throw me overboard, and your problems gonna stop. No, I ain't gonna do you like that. So the storm got worse. And it got so bad. Storm got so bad. Why do you know you need to throw it overboard? Number one, because the source of it is just of your storm. Secondly, it's because they're sleeping while you're struggling. And thirdly, because when you separate from it, here come your salvation. Time you separate from it, things get better. They finally said, this storm done got so bad, we throwing this man overboard. But look what they did. They didn't just throw him overboard, it said they brought him up. In other words, you give him to God. You give it to God, because listen, it's a difference between throwing it over and throwing it away. I thank you, Lord. And see, if you trust God, whatever God has for you is for you, but it can't be nothing for you till it can't be what God wanted to be yet. And if that man don't love God, he ain't gonna be able to love you. If she don't love God, she can't love you. You got to give them to God for they can help you with anything. And you gotta trust God enough to offer it up and throw it out in their water. Because this ship can't handle this storm you causing. Innocent people are dying because of you. Look what's happening to your families. Look what's happening on your job because of this stuff you got on your ship with you. Look what's going on. Look what the storm's happening, and you ain't got no sense to realize yet the source of this storm. God says, because you won't give it to me. Because I got an assignment for this, for that person that's bigger than this little bit of ship you own. And if God sent it, God will give it back to you. They throw them overboard. The storm stops. Once they separate themselves, they are so grateful to be saved. But look how God works. God saves pagan Phoenicians because of hard-headed Christians. And I believe that God can save this world through hard-headed folks. That sometimes because of our hard-headedness, God still had it all to work out for all good. And so he saved us and saved them. Because sometimes you need to tell people, don't do what I did, do what I didn't do. You missed it. Don't be hard-headed like I was. Don't keep acting like you don't hear God. When God talking to you, that's God who did that. So anyway, Jonah ended up testifying on the storm. God did that storm. It was God. Y'all God can't get up with this. My God is the one who's over the storm. And they start thinking about, who is this God then? Who is this God that can make a storm behave just because he wants to? What is it about this God that can make stuff be quiet when it ought to be loud and make stuff loud when it ought to be quiet? They now sacrifice. They work. Look how God changes them when they get rid of stuff they ought not have. What they used to gamble with, now they offer to God. They used to cast lots, now they sacrifice. Lord. Throw him overboard, and God had a fish. He had a fish waiting on Jonah. His stomach was cut fit just for Jonah's body. He gave him a lockjaw so he wouldn't be able to chew down on him. Lord have mercy. And throwing some people and some stuff overboard ain't gonna kill them, it's gonna help them. And sometimes you need to throw people overboard so they can be helpful and realize that your assignment is bigger than being on here with me messing up my ship. You got your own life you got to live. Stop piggybacking my anointing. Stop piggybacking my blessing. Stop piggybacking my prayer life. You got to see God for yourself. Them giving him overboard, throwing him overboard, transfers ownership. Said he's no longer our passenger, but he belongs to God. And Jonah went in the belly of that whale, went to the Sheol. He said it was like hell. It was like hell for him, like death for him, being in there 3 days, 3 nights. By the time he got out of there. But it was amazing how he came out of the fish hole. He didn't look like what he had been in. He was able to still testify and preach and proclaim. He wasn't chewed up. He didn't look like the digestive juices of the whale or the fish. Not the whale, but the fish. He didn't look like what he had been through. You got to learn that God has a bigger plan than your little plans. And there's some stuff, some people you hold on to has caused you nothing but trouble. If somebody's burdening you down today, you need to first of all be honest with it. It's a very tough thing to do, that first point I made to you today, to be able to say you're the problem. Because it's one thing to locate the problem, it's another thing to do something about the problem. And some of us are sitting there thinking we're doing the right thing. Well, I'm just going to pray about it. Look at this storm. Do you see this wind? Do you feel this wind? Do you see these waves? You see how this ship, and they specialize in shipbuilding, but this ship's starting to tear up, and you still got them on there. And you wondering why stuff ain't happening. Wondering why you can't get ahead. Look at your relationships. Look at these unholy connections you done made. Then look and see where this storm belongs. Anybody dealing with some unnatural stuff in their life right now? Look and see what you got in that ship with you. And that might be the source of your storm. You stay with the Lord. See, some people, some things you can afford to have in your ship. And there's some things you can't. But who, now, you need to put Jonah off, but you need to put Jesus back on. Because when you put Jesus in the ship, even though he's sleeping with some sovereignty. Oh, Lord. Now, when he's sleeping, you can sleep too. Glory to God. He got enough power to tell that storm to be quiet. Jonah can't tell you nothing about your storm. All Jonah can tell you is get rid of me. But when you put Jesus on the ship with you, you can make it through some storms. You can make it through some rain. You can make it through some ups and downs. You can make it through some valleys when you got Jesus in the ship with you. When Jesus leaves your ship, he goes to a fish. He goes to the pits of hell called a grave, a borrowed tomb. He stays 3 days or 3 nights just like Jonah did. And when he came out with all power in his hands. He got up with all power to bless you and all power to bless me and to save our sin-sick soul. And there's some stuff, y'all. You got to be willing to say, I'm throwing you overboard. Man overboard. Woman overboard. Job overboard. Stuff overboard. I'm not going to let nothing get in the way of my destiny with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you receive God's word today, won't you give him praise? Glory to God. Glory to God. I did what I could do with what I had. Now it's in your hands. Now it's in your hands. Won't you come to Christ today? Baptism, letter, Christian experience. If you're not saved, today would you make Jesus your choice? If you're not saved, will you make him your choice? Today, if you need strength in prayer to throw some stuff overboard or some people overboard, come to this altar. Allow God to help you. And we'll pray a covering over you. If there's some stuff that you need to throw overboard, you're too weighed down. Those sailors tried to get rid of all their equipment first. They tried to throw all their tackle and stuff over, thinking that was the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is some of the stuff that you got on the ship with you. Some stuff that you don't want to deal with but may look good for your ship. It makes your ship look prosperous, makes your ship look good, makes your ship have an image, makes your ship look like it's doing well, but you know it's causing your storm. If that's you today, won't you come to Christ? Come to Christ today. Come let God give you strength. Come let God cover you, anoint you, bless you, give you the strength and the courage to make some decisions, some tough decisions. It's not the easiest thing to do, but you got God's word to tell you how to do it. God's word today showed us what we need to do, how we need to do it. And I believe his word, it spoke very personally to several of us today. And if you need some extra strength to do what you know you need to do, if today's word confirms some stuff for you, and you need some extra grace, some extra help, you come to God today. Glory to God. You got to offer it to God. Getting it out of your ship. God has a plan that's bigger than what you thought. But don't allow your temporary benefits to cause you some permanent burden. That's a word for somebody. The temporary benefits of being associated with some people and some things can cause you some permanent damage. In the name of Jesus. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come?
In Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Oh, through it all, yes, Lord. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you, O God, for the promises and the power of your word. I pray, O God, that it fell on good ground, that it will take up root, O God, and it will grow special fruit from it. I lift, O God, these my brothers and sisters who come to this altar, asking you, O God, to bless them in a mighty way, that you give them the strength, dear Lord, to throw overboard those things, those situations, those personalities, those spirits that are hindering them, and may be responsible for some of the storms they're dealing with in their life. Lord, I ask that you give them favor now, that you give them strength and fervor to be able to make the difficult decisions that these days call for, that their lives may be free, their lives may be victorious, they be clear of all hurt, harm, or pain. Anoint them fresh and new, O God. Restore them hundredfold, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, from the inside out, O God, that you work on hearts right now, that you work on their mind right now, their mind be at peace. We come against the spirit of turmoil, the spirit of calamity in the mind. The mind, O God, is becoming a playground for the enemy. We come against the assignment working on your children's mind, making them think that right is wrong and wrong is right. In the name of Jesus, O God, we speak your word. We speak your fire. We speak your spirit to the mind. Your spirit, oh God, to the mind. Victory to the mind. Peace to the mind. Joy to the mind. Righteousness to the mind, oh God. They'd be able to stand on your word and stand on your promises. To walk in power, oh God. To walk in righteousness and be a change. Be the change that they want to see, oh God. That you will lighten the load for them, oh God. They'd be able to experience you in a new and perfect way. That you give them joy for their sorrow. Peace for their problems. Give them grace for their thorns, oh God. They'd be able to walk with you and not grow bitter. But they grow better, oh God, in you. That life, when life happens, oh God, they won't charge you unworthily. They won't charge it to you, oh God, but they'll charge it to whatever it's supposed to be charged to. Strengthen their prayer lives, oh God. Reignite their prayer lives with you, their time to talk with you. Away from the church building, away from the presence of us, oh God. Give them strength and victory that they'd be even better Christians when they're away from here. In the name of Jesus, oh God, let them walk in your light, walk in your purpose, walk in your divine way, in your divine precepts, in the name of Jesus. Cover them in your love. Anoint them fresh and new. Shower down, oh God, your blessing, your presence in their life. In the name of Jesus, God. In the name of Jesus. We stand with them, oh God, and stand on your word. Your word is true. Your word is true. Your word still works. Your word still gives power. Your word still unlocks. Help us to live your word, to walk in your word, to give in your word, to love in your word. We're out here on your word. And if we die on the battlefield, at least we can shout and say, we're out here on your word. Thank you for your word, God. There's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We hide these words in our heart that we will not continue to sin against you. You're able, God. You're able. You're able. You're able. And we believe in you. We believe in you with everything in our being. We believe in you. We trust you. We bless you. We count it all joy. We count it all joy. Give strength, oh God. Strength. Strength. Power. Dunamis power. Power from on high. Power to love. Power to forgive. Power to do what's necessary. Power to live right. Power to live holy. Power to live in strength. Power to live by the word. Power, oh God. To speak to our storm. To speak to our situation. Work some things out for us, oh God, in the atmosphere. Move by your spirit, oh God. We won't take it for ourselves. We won't take credit for it. We'll give you all the glory and none of the blame. We love you. We thank you. We believe in you. And we praise you now in advance. We praise you in advance. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory to God.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting, 6 o'clock Thursday.